Hello, friends and fellow adventurers. Welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue Blood Lords. As always, we'd like to invite you to come join our Discord where you can hang out with us and other listeners of the show. And if you'd like to throw a little financial support our way, you can check out our Patreon. And a shout-out to all of those that are Lich level and above. Rock Jedi, Wolf, Blardimus Slump, Thunder Mammoth, The Trevor Project, Das Chris, Fizgig, AC Goldner, Eric R., Oakdusk and Sneak Right Pasture There, Indie Link, Tawdry Monster, Mercutio, Angel Shadowheart, Cy Rendon, The Necromancer Forever, Doc Holliday, Corey, Robert T., Jason K., Dicky Lopez, Bobson Dugnut, Rickety Ropebridge, Alex K., Doma Alaka, Frank L., Just Mike Works, Ross D., Argoon's Long Lost Elbow, Fig Deer, Zach S., Jamie H., Mr. Turtle, Sleeve, Darren, Caleb W., Pickle, Mr. Grimm, Fire Down, M54 Ewaz, Jameson S., Eric R., Plus 24% of Whacking, I'm Not a Robot, George F., Leo Hart, Hard Hard Har, Witch Hunter, Jeremy D., Matthew M., Scott E., Progeny of Cthulhu, Liz Giggles, Calistria Specialty, Brandon K., Grigus Maximus, Andrew G., Ebon Flames, Booming Thunder, Henry, and a School of Fish. Thank you all so much for your support. And now a recap of session 42. We're at the witch Neth Nelma's residence, and we've just fought our way past her two mummy guards. We search around quickly and don't find much, but there is what appears to be a mirror scrying room on which we quickly close the door. A couple students show up and Cheryl lies to them to get them to leave. We then hear a voice calling for food from the basement. Turns out it's the Etten morgue she had in the classroom. The thing is terrifying, and we manage to kill him just before any of us go down. We heal up quickly and search around down here. We find tremor paste and brain grit. There's a note that says, quality is questionable. Kix notices the stuff is discolored and separating. It's in crates from Pat Ged.
So you make your way back up to the main floor. You notice that you walking downstairs in Sylvic's filth, you actually leave footprint tracks on the ground, moving from the basement up to the second floor. So you make your way up the stairwell, leaving, you know, the muddy tracks behind. You make your way to a landing. On the landing, there's not a ton up here. Just a couple of potted plants, some wall decoration. But you do find that there is a single set of double doors in the southern wall.
We go through the double doors. Well, that looks interesting.
And green.
So you open the doors. Well, really, the best description for it is it seems to be a ritual chamber of some kind. You're standing at the threshold of this darkened room, and the light coming from Arius's light spell spills into the room. Off of the floor, the light reflects off of this silver-sheened inlay in the floor, and it's silver inlaid into a circle with magical symbols. The most prominent feature in this room is the canvas that is standing next to the ritual circle with a partially complete artistic depiction of Arius.
I feel like I'd be a little taken aback by the fact that there's this painting of Arius there. Like, the hell is this lady doing?
A little obsessed, but yeah, going in. Sundrinker first.
There's a chandelier in the room hanging over the ritual circle. The chandelier's unlit. There's a bookcase filled with tomes. There's some sleeping mats and throw pillows that fill one corner. And there's that elaborate design engraved on the hardwood floor with silver.
Guessing an arcane or occult check to check on that inscription.
For the inlay in particular, you can give me either an arcana, nature, occultism, or religion.
Gosh dang, dude, that's a lot of things.
Well, that's like any of them.
Jeez. Any of the magical tradition skills.
I got 26 occultism.
Yeah, that's a lot better than me.
27.
Okay. Kix and Shara are able to recognize, as you kind of look around the room and take it all in, you realize that this room is specifically arranged to enhance the casting of ritual spells.
Makes sense for all the undead raising rituals.
You realize this is a room designed to enhance rituals. A few other things in this room.
Go inspect the painting? Like, Does it look like it was like actually painted, or does it look like it was like magically created, or?
There is a small side table next to the canvas with a cup with water, some paintbrushes laid out to dry. This does look as though it were painted.
Right, so it's got like brush strokes and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
I mean, I want to say detect magic, but I also feel like that's futile.
Everything's
going to be magic. What the hell do I get with my heightened detect magic now? I pinpoint the source of the highest level magic.
The source of the highest level magic in the room is the painting.
And it's school of magic?
Necromancy.
That makes sense.
So now knowing that the painting, is magic, is it just a 10-minute identification to figure out what is magical about it, or?
Yes. We're looking for an identify magic here.
Okay. And would that be any school again, or just like a specific?
Choose one of the four.
I don't know if I really want to spend 10 minutes on it right now. I feel creeped out being in this room.
I don't know how I would react to a painting of myself.
How good of a painting is it?
Very good.
Very good.
Does it focus on anything in particular, or is it just me?
No, it is just...
Like, as he's dressed now, I suppose he hasn't changed what he's wearing or anything since he was raised, so...
Potentially, in... thousands of years.
I have one set of clothing.
It's got his breastplate, it's got his cloak, it's got the greatsword, it even has the bleeding eye sockets, the holy symbol of Zuriel that's carved into his forehead. Everything.
Well, she certainly captured your likeness, Arius.
And has imbued it with a great deal of power.
Not bad.
Someone's obsessed with you.
I might take this home.
I think that would be an excellent idea, rather than leaving it here.
Let's burn it.
We may want to. It could be dangerous, to be honest.
Dangerously good looking. No, that didn't work. No.
Are you going to try and identify it right now, Shara?
Yeah, I'm not sure we should take 10 minutes to do that.
Yeah, I really feel like we should.
Maybe just grab it and go.
I say let's grab it and go. I want to also just look to see, like, I know down here on the south there's a tome open on a table.
Yes.
Like, if there is anything like that, I want to check that out. What has most recently been used here?
Okay. The tome that you see open on the lectern on the southern end of the room is a ritual book of some kind.
Okay. I take it.
You just take it?
Yeah, I'm just taking it for now. For now, I'm just taking. How about these candles around the... Are those actually there?
The candles?
Yeah, or are they magical?
Are they like actually lit and like stuff, or are they...
Yeah, the candles are actually lit. Yeah, they're there around the circle and lit.
Does it seem like they're burning down, or they seem like they're kind of...
Hard to say. You haven't been here long enough to really be able to tell. There's a pool of dried wax around the base of each one, holding it in place on the hardwood floor. But how long it's been there is difficult to tell. Shara, you gave a perception check, which I'm assuming is a search of the room while Lucan's grabbing that ritual book off the lectern.
Yes, that was just kind of a general look around the room. I got a 27.
You see, just off to the left of the door that enters into this room, the double doors that enter into this room, is a shelf. That shelf, or that cabinet, is hiding an entrance. It's hiding a door.
I will open said door. Looks like we've got another sleeping quarters here.
This bedroom is flanked by a bathroom and a large walk-in closet. The bedroom has a massive four-poster bed covered in a luxurious spread of black silk sheets. There is a large iron-bound trunk that rests at the foot of the bed, and a leather-bound book lies on a bedstand. Three significantly shabbier bedrolls are laid out in this room as well.
A lot of bedrolls laying around. It's kind of weird. Is there anything about the bedrolls that are have any significance? Like any like personal effects near them that might show who would be sleeping in those?
Not at all.
Just weird.
The only thing that strikes you is the stark difference between the quality of the four-poster bed with the black silk sheets and the shabbiness of the bedrolls.
I do a pop a quick detect magic in there.
Who did we kill here again?
A few mummies and the two-headed morgue thing. Morgue.
Who did we come here for?
Just taking a stroll.
Well, we came here to gather evidence.
Find out more about Nethnelma and what she's doing. Mm. And now we're just... I mean, I guess we just make it look like a robbery or something and just rob and, like, toss the place and rob stuff.
Sure, why not?
Instead of... So it doesn't look too, like, specific. I'll open the bathroom door and the closet, just kind of check in there, make sure there's... For one, no people, like, in them. Like, more, like, servants or undead zombies or something that she just, like, puts in the closet till she gets back at night.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's normally not a thing I would think of, but it's Geb.
Are you hiding an army of zombies in this bank vault?
Yeah, right.
So, real quick, I want to check in with everybody. We've got Shara and Lucan, who are in this bed chambers. Arius seems to be just standing in front of the painting. Are you just admiring Arius? So what's going through Arius's head?
Oh, a single thought.
To the outside observer, Arius is staring at the painting, but inside, Arius isn't actually looking at it. You're just kind of looking through it.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, as Ted nods on a audio premium.
Yup, yup.
Or audio medium.
Kix, what are you doing during this time?
Looking at these dope beds, and I'm gonna summon this. Use this summoning circle to summon my father.
Bix,
can you summon your other half?
Bix, yeah.
Never met you before, but Dad, I'm gonna give this a try.
Just a little bit of your own blood. Blood of my blood.
With Lucan and Shara in that room, I want to point out to Lucan, because he's got the eye for this sort of thing.
And I'm going to do detect magic.
Gotcha. Magic, yes, coming from the iron-bound trunk at the foot of the bed.
But yes, eye for sort of thing. Are you going to show me clothes?
No. However...
The really nice silk sheets, I would assume.
The sheets that are on this bed, if you were to investigate them, which they look really nice, are worth 600 gold.
600 gold sheets?
600 gold. Like the whole bedding set.
I'm taking it all.
It's worth 600 gold.
I'm taking it all, and I'm not telling anybody that it's worth that much.
I don't think anybody cares.
I just can't wait to feel 600 gold's worth of sheets all over my body.
You're going to slip right out of bed.
Thread count on these bad boys is so high. Also, the bed cloths is what they're listed as in the loot sheet are 5 bulk. Just because of how big and awkward it all is.
Seems really big for sheets.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like thought.
That has to include a comforter then.
Yeah, it does. It's the whole bedding set. The whole bedding set, including the pillows.
Depending on where you live, you don't even really need a comforter if it's warm enough.
I'm a vampire. I'm always cold.
But do you notice?
I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, the trunk. I inspect it for traps, though I don't really know what I'm doing.
And Shara's looking at that leather-bound book.
All right, Lucan with 27. You do not find any traps here.
Can I open the trunk?
It is not locked.
I open it.
Inside are pouches filled with gold pieces, totaling to 200 gold.
Worth one third as much as the bed sheets.
Literally. The inside of the trunk, there are two scrolls and one potion, all three of which are registering as magic.
I just take them. I'm not going to try and figure it out right now.
Okay. There's actually two of the potions.
Sweet.
For such a fancy chest, I'm surprised it wasn't that locked.
I search it for a hidden compartment, as I agree with Shara. False bottoms, all of that jazz.
No. You don't see anything like that.
Okay.
Shara, this leather-bound journal that you found, you see notes in here, and you really can just skim it because you're not taking the time to read all of the notes, but you certainly see mentions of brain grit, tremor paste, an unknown benefactor, poisoning at a mass scale, all these things. Just on a flipping through.
Another unknown benefactor? I thought she was the benefactor. I guess at least she was the one paying for it all, but maybe there was someone even above her then, I guess. But no mention of who that person is.
Not on a quick glance. No.
There appears to be somebody that we are missing. I think we'll need to take this book with us.
Take whatever we want, I say. Particularly anything of value. What are her dresses like? What's her wardrobe situation? I say and poke my head in that closet.
So you take a look at the closet. You basically have the Twilight Castrum's colors in robes lining the inside.
How drab. No, thank you. And I guess I'm done in this room.
As Lucan and Shara are in the room investigating, Kix and Arius, can you give me perception checks?
Kix and Arius having the time of our lives.
Woo!
23.
12.
Kix is having the time of his life.
I'm still trying to figure out that summoning circle. Dad?
Arius.
Is this thing on? Hello?
You hear, through the open double doors that lead into the ritual chamber, coming from downstairs, the sound of a door opening and closing.
Nice.
Arius doesn't bother to tell anybody.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. Yeah, I would. I'll tell everybody.
It's a fucking weird summoning circle. It brings people to the front door.
Dad?
It worked.
Dad's home.
Kix's dad? Is that you?
I hope you bought enough cigarettes to stick around for a little longer this time.
Ouch.
Yeah, sorry. That was deep cuts.
Well, Lucan, we better go receive, I suppose.
Only when I'm in the mood. But yes, sounds like we have company.
I like how we talk like it's our place.
Might as well be.
You kill the monster in the basement, you get the house.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works, right?
I mean, that's totally still the story.
I'm going to just tell everybody, hey, I think I'll launch a fireball as soon as they hit the top of the stairs. Stand back a little bit. It'll be fun.
You don't really like to talk to people?
It's just going to be somebody we want. Fine, Arius. Fine. Should we wait in here then? Maybe we shouldn't wait in the room where she's got all of her summoning magic enhancers.
I'm just going to keep looking at the painting of myself.
Although it is for rituals.
Remember, the story is that her monsters were loose and we had to put them down.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we were going to try and talk our way out of this. All right, fine. I'm on board.
And apparently also that she was robbed.
Do you then take your stances in the ritual room?
I guess.
All right, go ahead. Set your tokens in.
I did.
Yeah, I'm good. Right in front of the painting.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to lay out the scene, and because of the way that initiative works in Pathfinder, there's no clear, like, initiative or, like, surprise round or, you know, if you want to get, a pre-buff off before whoever's here gets upstairs, you do have the opportunity to do that. So if anyone wants to do that, go ahead. Sounds like no. So then...
I mean, I think the only thing I would do is maybe I'd have my shield up. So I just have it kind of raised in case there is a hostile person that walks up.
Sure.
And I'll also use that as I thought it was another creature or something coming to attack us.
So I'm going to lay out the scene here. We're going to roll for initiative and, you know, we'll figure it out from there. So as you stand in the ritual chamber with the double doors open, staring down the stairs, and you hear rustling coming from downstairs as well, low voices that you can't quite understand, and a beckoning.
Go on!
And then you hear footsteps on the stairs, and three humans, living quick, run up the stairs, and following shortly behind them is Nathnelma. As the teacher's assistants, there's three of them, pour into the landing outside of the casting room, and Nathnelma reaches the top of the stairs. Her eyes go cold with fury.
You! I knew it was going to be you!
And she points past Shara, right at Arius.
This painting's very good.
Okay, maybe that fireball might have been a good idea.
Oh, it's just a bunch of quick. You can fireball them.
You got it.
So we've got everybody in the encounter tracker, and I need everybody to roll for initiative.
What?
God damn, I'm so sick of rolling 19s and still going after the boss. God damn it.
Did I roll like a 20 again?
I don't know, you clearly have a ridiculous
shit,
initiative.
Yeah, though. I rolled really fucking high.
You rolled an 8. 18.
Rolled an 18.
God, and Lucan beat me. Damn it.
I rolled 19 as well.
Well, I guess we'll find out what she's doing.
I got a 19 total.
Kix is apparently trying the after you thing or something.
No, I hit. it showed up what I had. Oh, I didn't hit the fucking button in the middle. Oops.
Well, that's better than what you rolled anyways. Then at the top of round one, after the teacher's assistants pour into the landing and Nathnelma reaches the top, points out Arius, she immediately begins casting a spell.
Nothing I can do.
No one in this party does anything.
What spell is it? Can I see it? I can't even see her.
Animate dead.
Hey, I can do things. I can counter spells if they happen to be very specific.
Can you?
I have counter thought. So if it's a mind spell that affects me, I can...
It's not.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, never mind. I guess it's a trick. I guess it's any mental trait, so it doesn't have to target myself. It's just never been relevant.
She casts a summoning spell, and with a magic circle... A summoning circle placing itself in the ground, the hardwood floor, right in front of Shara, a giant crawling hand, the size of like a black bear, materializes in front of Shara.
Thing's a black bear. That's a terrible thing to give us for comparison.
About the size of that hand.
Who knows how big a black bear is?
I don't know. It's bigger than a dog. At least, right?
Yeah,
it's
bigger than a dog, smaller than a me.
Black bear size, yes. 50 to 80 inches from nose to tail, about 2 to 3 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like 200 pounds.
Height is maybe about
even 300 pounds.
Yeah, I like that. I like that comparison. That works for me.
150 to 250 pound bear is average. I just needed to know how big this hand is. Saying it's the same size as a black bear did nothing for me. I mean, who the fuck knows how big a black bear is off the top of their head?
I don't know. Like a giant severed hand the size of a St. Bernard dog. That better?
A fully grown male black bear can be about 400 pounds.
Woo. Yeah.
So we got like a 400 pound hand in front of us, or we got like a 150 to 250 pound hand. There's a huge difference there.
Here. This art has arrows stuck in the hand, which I think are good for providing perspective.
I mean, what if they're just like really small arrows?
Ted, now you're just being difficult.
The fuck's Argoon doing here?
Nathanella summoned a giant crawling hand.
I thought it was a black bear.
God damn it.
A fucking black bear again.
No, it's the size of a black bear.
Was that something the AP gave you, or did you just like use that yourself and threw that in there?
The AP gave it to me. Are you talking about the animation that happened?
No, I'm talking about the
black bear?
The black bear thing.
Oh, I threw it in because I'm trying to figure out how to describe to you the size
of
this hand.
You just know the average size of a black bear.
So you derailed us, okay.
You just know the average size of a black bear and use it for comparison frequently. Okay.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, I don't use black bears in comparison.
Using black bears as comparison.
I wasn't going to say dog because it's bigger than a dog.
It's got like feet and inches and miles as such random things. You know, it's about the size of a black bear. It's about a foot tall. What's a foot? I don't know.
Guys, leave him alone. He's just talking about a bear.
What's a foot? The guy just holds up his leg. That's a foot.
That's a foot.
Well, that's like horses, too. Aren't they measured in, like, how many hands tall or whatever they are?
Yeah, hands tall. True. Anywho. So when the giant crawling hand is summoned, it does get to use its two actions. It uses its first action to claw strike at Shara. Rolls a natural one on the die.
Perfect.
Good stuff. It is going to try that again. And it's going to roll poorly. Gets a 20. Which is a critical miss.
Yeah, I got my shield raised.
Damn,
remember?
You and that shield, man. That's nuts. Alright, then after Nathnelma, that takes us over to Lucan. It's your turn.
I have no way to do this fireball and not hit Shara.
It's Shara.
What? Sure you do.
Or maybe I do.
Can't you move over a couple squares and then shoot it against the back wall?
Well, I'm thinking of like just shooting it into like this back corner here.
But then you won't hit her.
Wouldn't it though?
It's 20 feet.
I guess if you centered it like right there.
It's a 20 foot burst.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to move.
And actually, I don't think that would hit me.
Perfect. Okay, yeah, that's what I want.
Is that's where you're going to place it?
Actions one and two. Fireball! Right from where I'm standing, right through the doors, into that back corner there, that little intersection. Gonna need a reflex save from all of those five enemies.
Well then. You know, she had a couple of really nice potted ferns in here.
Now they're potted ferns.
Yeah, I do see like everything here is made out of wood, so.
Love it. Yeah.
I hope we got all the plot relevant stuff because this whole house is about to burn.
Coming down.
Oh, that's what I like to see.
Holy shit.
That's what I like to see. That's what I like to see.
That's so bad.
That's some awful, awful rolls on my part.
That's three failures, one success, and one critical failure.
Yeah, one of the teaching assistants critically failed. Nathnelma succeeded, but everything else failed.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, you knew that was Nathnelma, the plus one to save the burst magic.
Well, I only get an 18 on my 66, so that's 18 to the failures, 36 to the critical failure, and 9 to Nathnelma. And that's just my first two actions.
Goodness gracious.
They were act together, so with my single action for Sundrinker from act together, we're just going to attack the hand. Sundrinker will attack the hand.
Okay.
At range. And we will get... and I'll go slashing, because it looks zombie-y. A 31 to hit.
31 hits.
Will deal 9 damage. And then with my third action...
What kind of damage again here real quick?
Slashing.
Okay.
Slashing. With my third action, I will use Tendril Strike to give myself an extra 5 feet of reach, and I will attack this teacher's assistant.
Oh.
That's in the room.
Going through that front line to get to the teacher's aide. All right, all right.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to have a better chance of hitting them with my map than the hand. And we'll go slashing again. And we'll get a 25 to hit.
25 hits.
Might have hit the hand anyway. Might not have, though. 20 damage to that teacher's assistant.
20 damage to the teacher's assistant.
Yeah, I rolled much better on that one.
I'm going to ask, this is kind of a question directed at Spencer, but I feel like Swanee might know this too. Do summoned creatures get reactions?
No.
They just don't. Okay. Nope. I didn't think so.
Summoned minion, things with a minion trait don't get reactions.
Gotcha. I feel like, I mean, I could be absolutely wrong on this, but I saw something that indicated that like animal companions and things do get it or can get it. But I could be wrong, too.
Eidolons do, but they don't have the minion trait.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at minion, a creature with this trait can use only 2 actions per turn, doesn't have reactions, and can't act when it's not your turn.
So it must just be this Eidolon, I'm thinking. Anyways.
So yeah, it's specifically, it is a minion when it's anything with the summon trait has the minion trait.
Has the minion trait as well. Got it.
Yep.
Got it. So there you go. Summoned creatures cannot take reactions because they have the minion trait. Then after Lucan lays some serious hurt on the enemy party all in one turn, like, legitimately, that was solid. Shara, it's your turn.
Okay, we will start with a intimidation check to do my Dread Marshal stance. Get a 25, which is it a success?
Yes.
What do I want to do? I don't think I want to go all the way up there. I don't want to have everybody attacking me. That might be a bit too much. Because I haven't seen what these guys do yet. I'm not sure if they're casters or not. I will take a second action to swing at the hand. Well, I will turn my nat one, or his nat one for my nat one. Some parity there. And I don't really think I've got anything else to do with my third action except to re-raise my shield.
Then after Shara, that takes us over to Kix. It's your turn.
I kind of want to hurt Shara. Not hurt you. I just want to do a 60-foot cone into that room without stepping up into the room. And the best way I could do that is behind you.
I mean, we are evil characters. You gotta do what you gotta do.
If I'm right here with a 60-foot cone forward, hit everyone. Or to miss maybe this guy on the left because of the wall.
The way cones work, that should actually exactly expand out. Is that?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that'll do it. Also, it will hit Shara as well.
Yeah, it's gotta happen.
It's gotta happen. We're doing it. Shara, you're getting targeted, boo.
This is amped.
Amped? Amped what?
Amped Shatter Mind. It is a cantrip unique to me.
Is this one of those new higher level cantrips that you get access to?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not a lot of damage, but if I amp it, it's D10s and possibility for stupefy.
Jeez.
Oh my god, if you stupefy Shara, I'm gonna laugh.
That's kind of why I'm so concerned about
it. I don't cast spells though. Stupefy really bother me too much.
Yeah. Oh, I suppose.
You telepathically assail the minds of your foes. You deal mental damage equal to, in this case, it would be 1d10 plus your spellcasting ability.
Oh, never mind. It's all enemies. It doesn't affect you at all. It actually specifically states enemies.
Enemies?
Nice.
Targeted? Well, hold on a sec. You assail the minds of your foes.
To all enemies in the area.
Yeah, oh, man. To all enemies in the area. Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
I looked at that before and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to not hurt you guys with this spell. But
an automatically exclusionary cone?
I like it.
Psychic OP. Nerf.
It's not that... Look at the damage, though. Like,
I don't know.
Anyways, yeah, I still need wills from all of them.
Oh, yep.
Well, there you go. The opposite of David's.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, quite a bit. I have 4 successes and 1 failure.
Who failed?
The one that failed was the one that critically failed.
Oh, he's fucking stupefied.
That critically failed David's fireball.
Is he Luke's dead? Fireball.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Because it's still a basic, right?
Yeah.
The basic will save, yep. Just do 3d10 plus 4, yeah.
Well, plus 6, because of the aura, right? Is that active?
It is, yes.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. It is, yeah, so it would be plus 6. Still alive. Just barely hanging on, though. And when they fail, they're stupefied? Or is it when they critically fail?
No, if they're stupefied, they're stupefied too if they critically fail.
Ah, gotcha. So stupefied happens either way. Solid. Adding stupefied to the casters, that's a big one. Then after kicks, that finally leads us over to one of the teacher's assistants. We're going to start off with the one that's just behind the giant crawling hand. They are going to use their three actions to cast a spell. That teacher's assistant spends three actions to cast Animate Dead. And they summon a skeletal champion deep into the ritual room behind Sundrinker and next to Arius and Kix.
We better not hurt that painting.
Wait, it's on top of the painting.
Standing right next to the painting.
I don't know if it can share a square with the painting.
Don't... It's fine. It shares a square with the painting.
That painting needs a full square. It's a painting of me.
I love how the vanity for Arius in this painting is slowly increasing throughout the session.
It's a beautiful fucking painting. What do you want from me? One might even say it's magic.
When the skeletal champion gets summoned... When the skeletal champion gets summoned, they use their first action to attack Arius with their longsword. Gets a 26 to hit.
Yeah, that just barely hits.
Dealing 12 points of slashing damage.
Nice.
And with a second attack, is going to attack Kix with a claw. Rolls a natural one of the die.
He unsummons himself.
Those have been going around.
That takes us over to another teacher's assistant. This is another one that's right behind the claw, not stupefied, but near death. They're going to use their three actions to also summon an undead creature.
All right.
This one is a zombie brute. Large and imposing, that drops right down in between Sundrinker and right adjacent to Lucan.
Don't like that.
Do they have line of sight to that space?
That particular teacher's assistant? Alright, fine. They don't. They get summoned here. They use their first action to stride up to Lucan. They use their second action to smack Lucan.
Is that a full stride, which might do attacks opportunity?
Looks like it.
I dislike you right now. So actually, I dislike all of you to a certain degree right now.
That's not nice. We all love you.
That does provoke an attack of opportunity, yes.
We'll take a strike slashing from Sundrinker. And we'll get a 31, which is a critical hit, which is going to stop it from moving.
God damn.
Twenty-six damage
on the critical hit stops the zombie brute right in its tracks. But because
look
of
at that,
slashing
it takes 10
damage,
more.
It takes 10 more damage.
Do not go near the vampire.
Well, if that's the case, then they're gonna strike Sundrinker instead through their buddy at a minus one. They have to strike through the skeletal champion to hit here. And rolls a 4 on the die. Gets a 14.
Critical miss.
Not rolling well tonight.
I looked away for a second, and there's a very large enemy next to me.
Yes. Zombie brute.
Don't worry, it's already badly injured from one critical hit from Sundrinker.
Yeah, I tried to move.
Oh, you tried to move it?
I tried to move it to attack. Yeah.
Fuck, I missed my attack opportunity then.
I mean, I did get my strike in after the stride. Well, it is your turn.
And technically, you probably, depending on how Tyler would have ruled it, you couldn't have because you hadn't gone yet.
Because your reactions, you know, I was going to say that everybody was really set and ready for combat, except for Arius. Just keep staring at this
but
painting.
Not at the painting.
That's a fair point.
Staring through
I
the
do
painting.
Not hate that point.
It's right, obviously. But yeah, Arius, it's your turn.
So I'm just going to start swinging, you know? Don't
you? You had two options. They literally materialized next to you.
The big one just took extra damage from slashing.
I guess I'll slash at him. 23 to hit.
23 hits.
20 slashing damage.
That's going to equate to 30. Big zombie is not quite dead, but coming apart.
That's a 2. 13 to hit.
13 misses.
Ah, fuck. I'm just going to keep rolling. I don't care. 16.
16 hits.
A 16 hits?
16 hits.
17 slashing damage.
It only had 4 hit points left. Arius just turns around and starts just slicing the zombie to pieces. An arm falls off and thuds to the ground. Leg gets lopped off and it tilts over and crashes into the ground. Well done, Arius. It's dead.
I did it.
Because it's dead, a summoned creature. It just vanishes, disappears. That takes us over to the bottom of round one. This is the stupefied teaching assistant. And this one's going to do the same thing or attempt to do the same thing that the others have done in summoning a creature. Let's see if he can do so with the stupefied on him, though. 15 on the die for the concentration to cast while stupefied. That's a success. So it is going to summon another skeletal champion. This one is going to be flanking Sundrinker with the other skeletal champion that was summoned.
All right.
It uses its first action to attack Sundrinker. The 25 to hit.
Barely.
The 10 points of slashing damage. It actually looks like that hit because of flat-footed.
No. Oh.
It says it hit by plus 3.
Oh, I see.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, by 3.
Yeah, because
right.
My AC is only 24. I ain't Shara.
Then that same skeletal champion is going to use its second action to claw, this time at Kix, with a 23 to hit.
Hit.
Hey, Kix, take 6 points of slashing damage. Which takes us to the top of round 2. Nathnelma's at the top of the order. First thing she does is sustains the casting of the summon undead, or the animate dead, giving the giant crawling hand its 2 actions. With its first action, it targets Shara and claws. Ugh, really need to roll high here to hit Shara. 19 won't do it.
No.
And I think only a natural 20 is going to do this. It's on the second attempt.
Ooh, it was close.
I almost got it. But no, it landed on a 14, and a 24 will not do it. The giant crawling hand continues to fail. Nathnama, with her second and third action, uses a special ability called Grave Impressions. And I need a fortitude save from Shara.
Okay. I get a 27 and fail?
A 27 fails. The hag targets a living creature within 30 feet. Which I'm pretty sure you're within 30 feet. God, now I gotta double check.
Yeah, it should be.
Yep. And overwhelms it with feelings of entombment. The target attempts a fortitude save and is then temporarily immune to the grave impressions for 24 hours.
Does it have the mental trait at all?
It has incapacitation, necromancy, and occult. On a failure, the target becomes unconscious. Shara drops her comma, clatters to the ground. The spell guard shield with the emblazoned Urgothoan unholy symbol on it also falls with a heavy thud and an iron ring through the room. She just falls.
Oh. Don't like that.
And Nethnoma says, "We're gonna get all of you! Including you, Arius!"
Why do you keep bringing me up?
Lucan, it's your turn.
How do I wake you up?
You should be able to just wake me up.
Before you go.
Like, literally anything should be able to wake me up.
Just give her a quick kick.
smack him with Sun Drinker.
Because it's critical failure says it can't be awakened for an hour.
So the unconscious, we're going to look into the unconscious condition for this. If you're unconscious and you have more than one hit point, you wake up in one of the following ways. And each one of these can cause you to lose the unconscious condition. You take damage, provided it doesn't reduce you to zero hit points. You receive healing, other than natural healing that you get from resting. Someone shakes you awake with an interact action. There's a loud noise going on around you, though that isn't automatic. At the start of your turn, you automatically attempt a perception check against the noise's DC, like combat around you. Though if you were simply asleep, the GM decides you wake up either because you have had restful night sleep or something disrupted that rest. So in this case, the most applicable one would be using an interact action to do so.
All right. Action one, Sundrinker interacts to wake up Shara. Takes a vial and goes, flap, 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 on your face.
Shara, take bludgeoning damage. I'm just kidding.
Action two and three, we are going to act together to electric arc. We'll go with, five, 15, 20. It'll be one of the summoned undead and the black bear hand.
Okay.
And I'll need reflex saves from them.
They both get a 28.
Yeah, they both succeed, but don't critically succeed. So half of 16 damage, they each take 8.
The damage is taken.
Then with Sun Drinker's single action from Act Together, again we'll reach out with my tendril strike and hit that caster. That's 15 feet away.
Gotcha. Not the one that's stupefied, but it does look like it's about to go down.
Oh, I get a 21 and miss. I really want to kill it. I will take my hero point. We'll reroll that one.
All right.
Using a hero point. And this time we'll get 32 to hit.
All you needed was one more on the die to hit. A 32 is a critical hit.
Well, we'll deal it a lot of damage then. 35 damage.
How do you brutally murder this quick? In self-defense, obviously. In self-defense.
Yes, in self-defense. It is 15 feet away, so it's really fun to be able to kill it with a medium creature. So, yeah, just a very long vine lashes out, and there's, I've described Sundrinker's thorns as being like shark teeth. So it just whips out, and one of those shark teeth just cuts his throat. And he bleeds profusely onto the ground as he falls to his knees and then onto his face in a pool of his own blood.
But you did bludgeoning damage.
No, I did slashing.
It says right there, Ted. Slashing damage.
Oh, it does say bludgeoning.
Never mind. Oops.
The wrong thing.
It says it right there.
I crack his skull. I'm leaving it. And that is my turn. Does his summoned undead go away?
It actually would.
At the end of their turn when they don't sustain it, probably.
When they don't sustain it.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So it'll stay there until their turn passes. Which, interestingly, if you were a PC, it would matter because the initiative would get moved. But in this case, with an NPC, you know what? I'm going to remove the complication and just, we're going to remove that undead. Because then I have to figure out where they would move in the initiative order. It would be the entire round where it just sat there, not doing anything. And why would you target it? Undead gone. After Lucan, that takes us over to Shara. Shara, you wake up on the floor. Your comma and your shield next to you.
So then Shara will stand up and draw her scythe.
The big one?
The big one.
Ooh, I like it.
And then attack the hand with the scythe.
Leaving comma and shield to the side, Shara attacks with her deity's favorite weapon.
Okay, so I stood up, so I'm no longer prone. Nat 20 for 36.
That's just how these things. That's just... That's just Sergothoa reaching into Foundry.
And it's a deadly D10. So here is 40.
Yeah, size is so good on crits.
Shira, I know your AC is ridiculous, but look at that damage.
Oh, believe me, I think about it all the time.
What giant crawling hand?
So
that's a black bear.
Yeah, she. God damn it. So, yeah, she stands up, and like as she draws the scythe, she mutters a prayer to Urgothoa, and then just decimates this hand.
Get cleaved. Get cloven. Anyways.
Yes. Yes. That's why they call it cloven hoofed.
Get cloven. Then after Shara just wrecks the giant crawling hand, that takes us over to Kix.
Bam! Again!
Another Shattermind?
Sorry, unleash Psyche first, though. So I might probably put that on quick.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Alright, now all those saves. Yeah, I'll just cast it again.
Now all the saves. Skeletal Champion fails. Nathnelma succeeds. The stupefied teacher's assistant fails. And the other teacher's assistant rolls a 2 and critically fails.
Alright, so this will be a 3d10 plus 12.
Because of the Unleashed Psyche? Damn.
Quite a bit better than last time.
Better roll.
Damn. Okay. Well then.
For the listeners, that was 32.
It was better. That's all they need to know.
It was good. That's solid. That's solid.
Don't give me shit before nodding. We're just rolling dice and not saying anything over here. I rolled well, listeners. You don't need to know.
Spencer's actions are always so shrouded in mystery.
Yes.
So the teaching assistant that was stupefied is now
stupid dead.
The one that critically failed, the only remaining teacher's assistant, took enough damage to also die. That 32 turned into 64. Nathnelma succeeded, so she takes half of it. And the skeletal champion, I believe, just failed. Full damage. Skeletal champion goes to Kix in one spell. You just took down two teacher's assistants, a summoned skeleton, and all that's left now at the top of the stairs is Nathnelma.
And in that case, why don't she give me a reflex save for a cyburst?
She's going to smack him with a cyburst. I love this spell.
Oh, wow. She
gets
a
nat 20 on it.
Oh. Here, I'll roll the damage.
It works out.
All right, that's all I got.
Well, Nathnelma resists your cyber. She's going to dodge off to the side as the psychic energy comes flying toward her head.
I like this. Like, for like 3 levels, I didn't think I had an AoE because I just never looked at that Shattered Mind spell.
It's fucking solid, dude.
2d4 damage. And I also thought it was... I didn't read that it specifically does to enemy targets. I was like, well, cool, I can make it 60-foot cone, but then it's just going to hit everyone.
Yeah.
Pretty good one. All right, that's all I got.
All right, well, then after Kix just clears the battlefield of the rest of the combatants, leaving just Nathnelma at the back of the room, Arius, bottom of round 2, it's your turn.
Arius uses his first action to move right up into her face by moving 30 feet. Second and third actions, I will do an intimidating strike.
That fleet doing that. Business, eh?
Oh, yeah.
You made it there just by that extra 5 feet, too.
And damn. I get a 30 to hit.
A 30 hits.
20 damage, and she's frightened 1.
All right, she takes all 20. She also is now frightened 1. Not in nice. Shara's aura, though.
Yeah, she is not.
That's fine. I'll just keep frightening her.
Which is going to take us to the top of round 3. It is Nathnelma's turn. And having Arius just come right into her face like this, she yells at you, "No, get away!
Thank you for the painting!
I curse thee!"
But I liked your painting.
Thank you for the painting.
Can you sign it for me? To Arius?
I bet it'll be worth more once you're dead. We're just going to be in like a minute.
She uses a three-action activity called Curse of the Grave. No, it doesn't provoke.
How does that not provoke? It's a three-action activity. How does it not provoke?
It has the curse trait, the necromancy trait, the occult trait. Give me a will save.
28.
A 28 is a success.
Did I fail by one earlier?
Ah!
Damn it.
Yeah, you did. Yep, 28 is a success.
Yeah, thematically it worked out, though.
As you stand there steadfast as she attempts to curse you, she looks suddenly very harried. Lucan, it's your turn.
Would Sundrinker, because this is 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, be able to get to there in 25, or is it going to take two movements to like get over this banister? And
the banister is going to be an additional piece of movement to jump over, all right. Yes.
All right, no worries. We'll start with a tandem movement. Sundrinker moves up to the banister. Lucan moves into the room to be able to see Nethnelma. Actions 2 and 3 will be an act together, and I am going to cast onto her Call the Blood.
Aha.
I need a fortitude save.
All right. Ooh, she gets a 23.
She rolls a 3 and succeeds?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So half of 19.
Oh, that's so many D4s.
Yeah, it's 8D4.
She takes
none of it.
No damage.
Because it's negative. Cool.
The grave hag doesn't take negative damage.
Guess that the grave hag would probably be undead. But I didn't know. So that's all right. That's,
She's not undead.
But she is a grave hag, which makes sense that she would be.
But she is immune to negative damage, yes.
All right. Okay. Well, that's too bad. With Sundrinker's single action from Act Together, they are going to hop on over this thing. But I'm going to go there to leave Cheryl room to get in if she wants.
Okay. So Sundrinker just kind of hops over the banister onto the stairs.
Yeah.
Blocking her in.
Yep. Done.
Then after Lucan is Shara. It's your turn.
Oh, she seemed to be immune to that negative damage I just tried to deal, just in case anyone was interested. Don't do any of that.
No, don't be interested. Do the stupid thing. Fools.
Okay. Apparently scythes are not reach weapons.
Nope.
Doesn't really make any sense, but okay.
Very interesting. I mean,
how can you be in the pole arm group but not be a reach weapon?
They're literally designed to cut things that are right at your feet. They're like the least reach weapon of them all.
If you're doing that kind of thing.
He's got a
but
point.
They also have really long shafts. I would think you'd be able to use it in a more weapon-like manner with reach. Like, I totally get
it. Instead of having to, because you hold it with such a wide...
When you're cutting and whatnot with it, but...
Are you talking about, like, baseball bat holding a scythe?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have to, like, be, like, way at the end, but, I mean, just like any other pole arm, you'd have...
Just choke up on the grip, you mean.
You'd spread it out a little bit.
Or choke down.
Choke down.
But, anyways, it is one action, 20 feet, to move up next to Arius and within reach of... our good friend here.
Now, because of the banister being right there, she does have lesser cover on any attacks you make against her.
Okay. You know what sounds like fun? Trying to trip her. This is an athletics check. So you're saying I'm minus one to this?
I was actually going to check to see if cover applied to all actions with the attack trait.
I would assume so. Like, I'd actually assume that in this case it applies more in an attempt to trip her at her legs if I'm reaching over the banister.
Yeah, Yeah, go ahead and do it at No, why don't you just make the check? I'll adjust the reflex save as needed on this side. Her reflex DC, I should say.
Well, that was almost a lot of things, but Relian's on a 26 total.
A 26? God. Because of the lesser cover is a failure. Now, I swear I'm gonna get heat for this. I'm reading cover. Like, not heat from you guys. We don't often get heat from listeners about rules stuff, but it happens. If cover is especially light, typically when it's provided by a creature, and a banister would kind of fill this in here, you have lesser cover, which grants a plus one circumstance bonus to AC.
I guess that is pretty specific.
It is very specific. I don't think I've ever read cover. I've kind of just assumed because AC is a DC, and most conditions that affect AC actually read as affecting DCs. But this one specifically says to AC, and you're targeting a reflex DC. So I'm going to go raw interpretation here. The 26 is a success.
Sweet. She's prone.
It takes everything she has to stop herself from rolling down the stairs as you knock her down.
Take an attack of opportunity as she's tripping. No. Nothing.
Did she fall down the stairs, actually?
Save you with my sword! And I just stab it through her.
She's just, like, awkwardly leaning against the wall.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. She'll need a moment to right herself.
Considering I barely tripped her.
And she falls back against the wall and needs to regain her balance, but she will be flat-footed. Cher, did you have another action, or was that all three?
No, I do have a third action, and since I do not have a shield, I am going to just take a swing at her with the map.
And the lesser cover will apply on this.
Yes. We'll roll a 26.
That hits on the nose because you successfully tripped.
Oh, she's flat-footed.
Yep.
Awesome. I deal her 23 slashing damage.
Nice. Oof. Man, that scythe doing work. She takes all that damage.
Yeah, this is going to make Shara rethink how often she uses her shield. Problem is, she also really knows that 30 AC is pretty freaking awesome.
It's made it nearly impossible to hit you in certain circumstances.
At least basically, like, if it's impossible to crit me. Like, you can only roll a 20, basically.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Wow. Things are just not going great for
Nethi here.
Nethnoma, as she gets just slashed up by the scythe and tripped back.
You must be the one that Vilnithna warned me about.
Vilnithna was the name of the Urgothoan priest at the Palladium.
Yes, well, I might have to visit him again after we're done.
Kix, it's your turn.
I really want to burn like a level 4 spell, but I know her saves are stupid.
Depends on what saves we're talking about.
I mean, it was that fortitude that was like the 3, right?
It is her strongest save, yeah.
Her reflex is only like a 16, though.
I could cast telepathy and just talk to her. Huh?
Sure, that'd be worth it.
It's a 10-minute... Well, no, it is a 2-minute cast. 10-minute duration. I guess if you want to.
Next up, girl, you're gonna die. Psyburst!
No, don't kill me!
Wait, are you gonna telepathy her and then psyburst immediately after?
I didn't telepathy yet.
Oh. So, okay, telepathy. I'll make the reflex save here. She doesn't do great. Gets 19.
9 damage.
9. She takes all of it.
Fuck it. Let's just, we'll try it anyways.
Burning that 4th level spell. Ooh. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take or something like that.
I can't be right.
Anyways, what spell are you casting?
Phantasmal Killer of the 4th level variety.
That is the quote, but yeah.
She will need a will save of 25.
Okay. She gets a plus 19 to this.
Hell yeah. That's really good.
Oh, rolls an 8. Got close. Regular success here.
She will take 25.
Nice rolls.
Oh, so it's not halved. It's just... Oh, yeah. That's okay.
And she would just take 25 damage, yeah.
Okay. Neat.
Yeah. Phantasmal Kill is weird because it's not a basic save.
It's not a basic
different
save.
Yeah, okay.
So when you get higher level, that 4d6 doesn't change. So, like, your main attack will be like, hey, here's 12d6 or 4d6.
No, the damage increases the damage by 2d6 on a failure.
Yeah, so the failure success.
One. Well, but the Hythen one still gets stronger.
The success never changes.
Success is always 4d6, even if you're casting it at 10th level.
Oh, it's just reading it backwards. Like, I'm reading success. Yeah, never mind. Yep.
All right, now she is frightened one, though, even on that success. So she takes that damage, and she's now frightened one. Well, that takes us down to the bottom of round three. Arius, she's teed up in front of you, frightened, flat-footed. It's your turn.
Watch me miss.
Ooh, I don't think so.
Oh, 33 to hit?
33 is a hit, not quite a critical hit.
25 damage?
Plus two, you're in my aura.
27 damage.
Have we been doing that?
Not most of the time.
I just got into his aura, so...
Yeah, I mean, people have not been in my aura a lot this combat because of the way we've kind of been moving about. It would have technically made a difference against that large creature because you said he only had 4 hit points left and that would have... He would have actually died before that, but...
No,
it didn't make a big difference.
Real quick... because Arius uses the first action and does cuts into Nethnelma, and she's bleeding now on the stairs, the top of the steps. It's all over the wall, and it's this sickly, dark, dark red, almost like a black in color, and it smells of plague and decay. She looks like she's just barely hanging on now. Your characters would certainly remember this, even though it's been a couple of months maybe for you guys. Zithni and Kyril both wanted Nethnelma alive
for
their own purposes.
Can't do that. It's anathema for me.
Just wanted to throw it out there before...
It's literally against Zeriel's edicts or whatever. I can't give a quick mercy.
I guess technically she is a quick.
She is a quick. She is
actually,
not dead.
It might just be mercy in general. I don't think I can show mercy to anybody.
I think it is just mercy in general.
So yeah, I'm going to keep swinging. I get a 22 to hit.
Well, we've declared combat. Then yes, you will die. 22 misses.
I'm going to hero point that. God damn it. I miss with a even lower. Okay, I'm going to swing a third time.
19 will miss.
Come on, nat 20. That's not a nat 20. That's a 21 to hit. That's also a miss. Okay.
You got it.
That sucks.
Well, that takes us over to Nathnelma.
Promise she's prone.
And Nathnelma's going to make such a common mistake. It's a mistake that many enemies of the party make before they really know any better. Nathnelma stands up.
Have her roll down the stairs.
I take a swing. 33 to hit.
33 hits.
Ooh. Oh, Jesus.
28 damage.
28. As she moves to stand up, she begins to curse Arius. Why have you and Zeriel done this to me?
The painting was wonderful. I'm keeping the painting. It was a gift. What's the Wedding Crashers line? I can't remember what it is. I was just thinking of like the Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
I can't remember how that goes.
Well, I believe we were supposed to keep her alive, but oh well. They can resurrect her if they like.
Nethnelma's black ichor blood starts flowing down the stairs slowly and drips. Kicks. As Nathnelma gets cut down, kicks, this magical energy releases from the painting.
Oh.
No, it's the painting, not the circle.
Damn.
And this, like, magical backlash explodes from it. And nothing bad happens to you, but you can see the magical energy dissipate from the painting. And even the circle, the ritual circle that's just on the other side of the canvas, begins to lose some of its luster, some of its magic. Congratulations. The sinners have dismantled and severed the head of the Grave Claw Coven.
Witches get stitches as we've defeated the final hag in the Graveclaw Coven. But the mystery is far from fully resolved. What clues will we further uncover? Find out next time as we continue Bloodlords. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.